every single day, we find ways to tolerate the intolerable. We go along to get along. If we had to stop and protest every wrong, minor or scandalous, that we encounter, we would be able to do little else. When I check my morning email, my inbox has in it at least a half a dozen important petitions that I'm called upon to sign. And if I leave our apartment for a walk, I am certain to run into precious siblings whom our society discards and treats like refuse. Just by virtue of being North Americans, we are complicit in and profit from a variety of life-denying systems. We have learned to become complacently well-adjusted to injustice. But at what cost? What are the costs of becoming well-adjusted to an unjust society? What are the costs of going numb? And what about those who don't have that luxury? What about those who are on the underside? Those who feel in their psyches the full force of soul-destroying powers and principalities? Every one of these questions is treated in today's gospel reading. The story begins with Jesus encountering a deranged man. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in the house, but in the tombs. A man of the city, not a stranger, but he has been cast outside of civilized life altogether. He no longer wears clothes, a basic marker of culture. He is not only unhoused, but resides in the places of the dead. He is not only without a home, but he is also not at home within. He is a fractured man. Today, we would diagnose him as suffering from dissociative identity disorder. A basic search of all-knowing Google will bring us to the following information. DID is usually the result of sexual or physical abuse during childhood. Sometimes it develops in response to a natural disaster or other traumatic events like combat. The disorder is a way for someone to distance or detach themselves from trauma. So he exhibits violent behavior because he himself has been violated by trauma. What happened to him? We get a glimpse when Jesus talks to him. As the gospel states, Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. Now, any ancient reader of Luke would take notice upon hearing the word legion. My friend, the New Testament scholar Aliyu Niang, writes, "Colonial subjects would not have confused legion with anything other than the enforcer of the peace of Rome. Rome's army, the 10th Fratensis Legion, stationed nearby in Syria. The legion was instrumental in finally destroying and occupying Jerusalem." As scholars have noted, the mascot of this Roman legion was the image of a pig, which sheds much light on how much this animal might have been valued by many in antiquity. Unclean for Jews, pigs were lucrative for most of the pork-eating world. Close quote. A contemporary reader might reasonably conclude that this man has been fractured by Roman violence. Imagine living under constant military threat, your life worth next to nothing, and treated as expendable. Add an exposure to military assault suffered at the hands of this legion, and just about anyone might break. This man clearly has. Then Jesus comes near to heal him. The man resists. We should not be surprised. We all do. We all resist our healing because healing is hard and painful work. The man asks, "Why do you torment me?" No wonder Jesus sometimes asks in the Gospels, "Do you want to be made whole?" Why? Because wholeness has its costs. The unnamed man understands. In effect, he says, "Jesus, do you know what you're asking of me? When you seek to restore me to wholeness, you force me to come face to face with the source of my pain. You force me to confront the worst violence I have suffered. Leave me alone. I can't bear it." Then Jesus asks the crucial question to the man's inner maelstrom. "What is your name? Tell me your pain. Tell me what has happened to you. Tell me why it is that you suffer. Give it a name. Find the courage to face the demons who possess you." With Jesus' help, he names his brokenness. He tells Jesus that he has been victimized by Roman violence. The demons without have become demons within. The unnamed man is healed in the very moment he tells the truth. The minute he finds the courage to name the source of his violation, the violation loses its grip. Rome may still rule the countryside, but Rome and its legion no longer have a hold on this man. He has been released. He has become fearless. Someone cast aside to the margins has been restored into a new and daring wholeness. That's good news, right? Well, yes and no. Depends on who you ask. Then the people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Why? Why are they afraid? We might suppose that they are afraid because they recognize in Jesus some kind of disturbing and powerful sorcerer or magician. But we might guess also at other reasons. The people of the region have just lost a source of immense wealth. They're pigs. No doubt, some of these pigs were sold to Roman soldiers for food. These people have learned to make a living, and a pretty good one at that, by cozying up to Roman occupation. Are there costs to sidling up to empire? Well, of course, there are terrible costs. Addictions, isolation, fractured personalities, brutalized populations. So many terrible costs. But the costs of proximity to Rome, these people believe, can be foisted onto other people, on the margins, onto the unhoused, and others who lack the financial and psychic resources to endure colonial violence. But these people, we can chain them up or leave them on the streets, and we can, as we still do today, pretend they don't exist and walk on by. We can learn to become complacently well-adjusted to injustice, especially if there's profit in it for us. But now there he sits, regarding them in his right mind. My friends, a healed and courageous man in his right mind is a courageous and dangerous creature. In his clarity, he is a living embodiment of resistance. He sits there, looking at them with clear-eyed honesty. He disturbs them by reminding them that they were willing to sacrifice this precious person for the sake of their prophets. Friends, I think these city folks are just as afraid of their restored friend as they are of Jesus. You see, both Jesus and the healed man, both of them are now fully paid up members of the International Association for the Advancement of Creative Maladjustment. I am here, of course, referring to the words of Martin Luther King Jr. Permit me to quote him at some length. It's always nice to hear some King. There are certain words in the technical vocabulary of every academic discipline that tend after a while to become stereotype and cliches. There is a word in modern psychology which is now probably more familiar than any other word in psychology. It is the word maladjusted. And as a minister seeing and counseling with people every day concerning their problems and their maladjustments, I am certainly concerned with those who are maladjusted, concerned to see everybody as adjusted as possible. But I want to leave this evening saying to you that there are some things in our social system that I am proud to be maladjusted to, and I call upon you to be maladjusted to. I never intend to become adjusted to the evils of segregation and discrimination. I never intend to become adjusted to the tragic inequalities of the economic system, which will take necessity from the masses to give luxury to the classes. I never intend to become adjusted to the insanity of militarism, the self-defeating method of physical violence. There are some things that I never intend to become adjusted to, and I call upon you to continue to be maladjusted. Yes, I must confess that I believe firmly that our world is in dire need of a new organization, the International Association for the Advancement of Creative Maladjustment. Our gospel today confronts us with fundamental questions that we cannot avoid. It forces us to ask, where am I in this story? Am I among those who have learned to become well-adjusted to colonial occupation and its death-dealing powers? Perhaps I have even learned to profit from it. Or perhaps you are on the underside, your spirit wounded by neoliberal capitalism, by isolation, by the threat of climate collapse. Perhaps you are even at risk of becoming unhoused because of skyrocketing mortgages and rents. Or perhaps you are among those who yearn to be healed by the love of Jesus the Christ, a loving power that heals us and makes us creatively maladjusted at the same time. Perhaps we are among those who are even now being freed from the demonic powers of our age. Friends, I pray that a growing number of us here at St. John's might be set free from captivity to the demonic powers of our age, the powers of racism, militarism, materialism, sexism, homophobia. Let us pray that we will become clear-eyed, courageous, and compassionate truth-tellers like our brother whom Jesus healed. Let us pray that partaking in the bread and wine will be our initiation ritual into our local chapter of the International Association for the Advancement of Creative Maladjustment. We who mean to defy the status quo need each other. Come, let us be maladjusted together. May it be so. Amen.